Good morning. Is it just me or are we between seasons? Wow, I don't think I've ever seen weather like this. Snow and winter this morning, 60 by 4 o'clock, and then repeat tomorrow and 3 days later. Thank you for your prayer and support for the retreat weekend last weekend. We had 33, which is really the largest we've had since COVID. And surprisingly and very happily, they all came. I think for all the 14 or 15 years we've been doing that, I think that's somewhat correct. It's been quite a while. There's always three or four or five that don't come, but they all came, and nothing unusual happened. The lights stayed on, the power stayed on, there wasn't a flood or a fire. And we've seen all those things. Well, the fire did come, the fire of the Spirit. After the praise and worship on Saturday evening, I asked how many felt touched by the Lord, and I think everybody raised their hand. Praise God. Now, that's not me. It's the Lord. It's the prayer teams, and it's the Lord. It's the people praying, and it's the Lord. So thank you for your prayer, and I'm very grateful for that. Let me just take one line here before I begin my particular reflection. By the way, I'll save a paragraph in my little reflection here. The catechumens are here. How are you doing, catechumens? That was overwhelming. The three that are going to get baptized, raise your hand. One, two, three. Good. And the other three are professions of faith. That's why we have this long reading today. The reading was for you and the rest of us, so that your eyes have become opened, have they not? You've been in the program several months now. I don't know how many weeks. I hope you came each time, except for the times you canceled. And in the beginning, you were less mature in faith, and you walked the journey. And of course, it's a metaphor, but that your eyes were opened, and you've come to see now in the light of faith. So the reading quite intentionally is for the catechumens, not just here, but around the world. These readings are being used in the kidding. We're all sinners. It's a big point in this reading. I'll jump ahead, but you see, the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, some of them of that time, rejected what was obvious in front of them. Now, it's interesting that it's the blind man, but he doesn't know Jesus yet. And yet he's the one that came to faith. The reading has many layers. The most important, the person most impacted, of course, is the blind man. If he is born blind, he's not yet seen the world at all. He's most affected because now he sees the world in its physical nature, but he's also now, more importantly, sees the world. I know it's not going to be a 380 or a 360, whatever that 390 is it, you know, overnight. It's a process. But consider, beyond the healing of the blind man, Jesus uses the occasion to awaken faith in all who are willing to see and accept God in the works of the power of Jesus. First of all, the disciples themselves. It's a learning experience for them because the reading began by the very followers of Jesus. You see, it was the mindset of the culture. The whole culture, religious culture, believed that if you had any illness, it was because of your sin. That is simply not true. But, you know, the disciples themselves believed this because they're a product of the culture. Even in our time, we don't believe a lot of the things that are going on in our culture, but we're a part of the culture, and sadly, sometimes we participate in the process. You fall down, you get up. You fall down, you get up, and you keep going. Jesus says, it was neither he nor his parents, but it was for the sake of revealing the work of God. Now, the work of Jesus is, of course, to call us to faith in God, the Father who sent Jesus. Because Jesus is one with the Father. Jesus is as much God as God the Father. I'm saying that for the sake of the catechumens, please. Jesus is God. Through the years, pastorally and otherwise, marriage preparation, almost always, inner healing, whatever it is, almost always I ask, who's Jesus? You'd be surprised at the answers you get. In fact, I think I said here a couple of weeks ago, someone recently said, well, Jesus is a symbol. Jesus is not a symbol. Christians believe, all Christians believe, that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, God in the flesh, which is why he could heal blind people on the spot. And that God has given those gifts of healing to other people. Our patron, St. Vincent Ferrer, I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head, he raised like 8 or 10 people from the dead. He didn't do that by himself. God did that. That's what we believe, that there's life here and there's life hereafter. After we die in the body, there's true and full life in the power and the life and the love of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, that is God, and the Spirit is love. There's no extra charge for the catechism lesson. Those who witnessed the miracle were stirred in faith, and they had to make a choice either to believe or not believe. Some could see, and they did believe in the power of Jesus. Others would not believe. The religious leaders in particular, despite unmistakable evidence, refused to see and acknowledge the power of God in Jesus. They asked the guy 3 times, what did he do? The choice is presented. God, Jesus, forces no one to believe. You don't have to believe. Jesus forces no one. But he'll never stop trying to open our eyes, the eyes of our hearts and our souls. Out of compassion for the sick, Jesus healed those of any kind of infirmity. The works of God performed by Jesus were done not only out of compassion, but to inspire faith in all those willing to see the power of God in Christ so that they might believe in him. How does he do it? It's interesting to pay attention to that. Notice how Jesus accomplishes the miracle. The way he did it images and reminds us, literally, of the work of creation. When God formed man, the human person, out of the clay of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. We'll hear that story of creation at the Easter Vigil. This is in anticipation of that. So what does Jesus do? He spat on the ground and with the saliva made mud and smeared it on the man's eyes. The image again is one of recreation. It's revealing the fruit of redemption so that in the glory of heaven, having realized or been given in the fullness of that time, we'll receive the fruit of our redemption and find our wholeness in God. This recreation is not primarily in and of itself and only physical. It is ultimately and in a greater way spiritual. It is for the awakening of the heart and soul of the man to faith. Now again, consider, he was labeled a sinner because he was blind. He had no opportunity to ever go into the temple because they wouldn't let him in. He would not have heard the scriptures. He would not have been able to read the scriptures because he was blind or learn the ways of God unless his parents taught him, which I presume they did. But he would have no interest or maybe knowledge of the temple life because he could never go there. But Jesus awakens in him the light of faith, giving him eyes to see not only the created world, but the life of faith now stirred and awakened in his heart. Another lay of the story throws attention on those, again, who refuse to accept the works of Jesus as coming from God. They, the religious leaders, presume to see and know the ways of God only through the temple law. They labeling Jesus a sinner, he's a religious lawbreaker. Is God limited by religious law? No. We need the laws. God doesn't need the laws. I know it sounds very liberal to say God can break his own rules. A lot of people aren't going to like that. We need the laws, and God takes them seriously. Didn't we hear just last week, or maybe it was during the week, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Not one letter of the law, not one part of the law will be abolished until it is all fulfilled. What's the fulfillment of the law? Jesus, who gave his life, his heart, his soul, his body, his whole self, God, died in the person of Christ so that we didn't have to be bound only and be labeled religious lawbreakers. But even here, despite their rejection, Jesus continues to work to open the eyes even of these religious leaders, that they could see the work of God in Jesus standing right in front of them. But they refused. Pretty interesting, then, that the story even uses the formerly blind man as the primary witness and agent of faith. That's where you're going to be confirmed, catechumens. How many here can remember their baptism? Their confirmation. Remember when the bishop used to kind of give you that tap on the cheek? We're all going to be soldiers for Christ, and we put on the armor of God because now we're big enough, we're old enough, and mature enough. No longer are we praying like second and third graders. We'll get on our knees. Knees are good, okay? And prayers are good. But not like you're in sixth grade. We're called to grow up. Jesus wants adult disciples. So in confirmation, we're called to be bold and give witness. This guy's giving witness, and he doesn't even know who Jesus is. I haven't gotten to that part yet. He's giving witness. But as the beneficiary of the miracle, the blind man who now sees gives direct witness to the power of Jesus, even though he does not yet know him. How were your eyes opened? The man they called Jesus made clay, smeared it on my eyes, told me to go wash. I did, and now I see. Faith, of course, is a process. Catechumens, you got about a tablespoonful of all that we are called to know, all of us really, including myself. We've gotten about a tablespoonful of all there is to know about God, Christ, the theology of the church, the mystery of the sacraments. It's really the tiniest beginning. I hope the seed of faith that's been sown in you explodes and becomes an avocado plant. I had one of those way back in my first assignment. There were several priests in the same parish. Wow, at that time. There were like 500 priests in the diocese. Now, never mind. So she put this avocado pit in water with, stuck the toothpicks and this and that and the other thing. When I left that parish and went to the seminary, that avocado plant was so tall it wouldn't fit in the tallest hall in the seminary. I hope that happens to you. That we explode and allow, like the mustard seed, to continue to grow and expand in us. So that faith is a process. Now notice, after he gets thrown out of the temple, courageously and boldly speaking his own truth, which was the truth of God, to those who refused to see it, then Jesus himself goes and finds the man. He never did that with anybody else directly. He went and found him. Jesus did. And he says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? He who is speaking to you is he." In other words, it's me. And the man says, "I do believe." Now, if we were a Pentecostal church, I could say, "Who wants to come down to make an altar call?" Would you? Yeah. We do that at Easter. That's what we're preparing for. So that we'll all be standing at the time, and we'll do the questions of our creed. and you will stand, and if it is your will, you'll profess that you believe in God, you believe in Christ who died and rose, and the whole creed. This man did it in this way. Begin to think about that so as you persevere in your Lenten practices, we're doing that for a sincere renewal of our baptismal promises. The reading challenges all of us to grow in faith. We're all pretty familiar with selective hearing, but you'd understand when I say we all kind of suffer from selective seeing as well, you know? We hear what we want to hear, we see what we want to see. Oh, I didn't know that was there. Oh, I didn't see that. In fact, I asked Carl, I think on whatever day it was, Thursday, is the cave up yet? I've been there for 2 days. I shouldn't use that example because we take things up and down, and some will say, oh, when did they take that banner down? Oh, 2 months ago. It happens. But for ourselves as Christians, the invitation is to see Jesus with eyes of maturing faith. It's a day-to-day challenge, is it not? We're seeking God to be the deepest identity, meaning, and purpose of our lives. That means we have to have our eyes open to see and accept the activity and the presence of God within and around us. If we presume, maybe like the religious leaders of the time of Jesus, to see and know and understand the ways of God in and of ourselves, we're believing in an image of our own making, like the religious leaders. And that will hinder our faith. Because if God doesn't meet our expectations, oh, well, that guy, that doesn't work. I'm giving up on that. We can't know and understand the fullness of God's mercy. All the ways and times God has used some of the best sinners the world's ever known and turned them into saints. All those who have failed miserably and committed serious sin, and God still used them to bring about the kingdom of God. Christianity, how many times have I said it's not about sin and how often we fail? It's about the power of the unending love and the power of God's mercy and love. Hey, it's messy business. Consider the humility and the surrender of the blind man. Did you notice he never asked for healing? He couldn't see Jesus walk by because he was blind. And yet he did not reject the wet and rather, I'm sure, pretty unpleasant spit and mud that was smeared on his eyes. He didn't know or understand who Jesus was, but he wanted to know. He believed the healing was a work of God, and he wasn't afraid to say so. And we should be like that. He accepted the divine power in Jesus, and he was given a new life. That's the purpose. That's the action. That's the fruit of the Lenten season. How or where do you see the works of God in your life? You might see them in yourself. But more pertinently, you should see them in others, by what you do on others' behalf or what they may be doing for you. How many times has God saved you or rescued you or forgiven you? How many times has God blessed you with the kindness, healing, forgiveness, or peace from someone else? If you see and feel the work of God, accept it and let it change you. God be praised. Thank you for the blind man. And now let us pray for the catechumens.